of the grime and the dirt out of us, oh Lord. Oh Lord. The dirt and the grime coming out of us, oh God. You're squeezing it out of us, oh Lord. So that we can come with clean hands. We can come with a pure heart. He says, come to me with clean hands. Come to me with a pure heart. Come to me with clean hands. Come to me with a pure heart. Jesus, come to me with clean hands. Come to me with a pure heart. I feel like the Lord is basically saying some of us have been in the refiner's fire and we've gotten out of the kiln before it was time. And oftentimes you go in the kiln and then he takes you back out. And you go in and he takes you back out. But some of us little pots have grown legs and we've walked out of the kiln because we didn't want to be there. That's what I was seeing, little walking chubby pots. And I feel like he's saying, you know, you just need to trot right back in there because I'm not done yet. And then the fuller's field is, the fuller's soap is mentioned in that same scripture about the refiner's fire. And I just feel like the Lord is saying, you know, when they first wash the wool, it looks clean. And then they soak it in the fuller's soap. And then they mash it and they hammer it and they step on it. And then the wool, all of this garbage and this grime comes to the top and you get to see the fat and the nasty and all the ugly stuff that's in the wool that is hidden. But it takes a crushing and a stepping. And used to, you know, I guess slaves would step on it. They would hammer it sometimes. But there's this squeezing, this hammering that the Lord has been doing on many of us. So we still need to soak. We still need to soak in the fuller soap. There's a long soaking process in order for that to happen. I just feel like the Lord is saying, you know, walk your little chubby pot back into the kiln and get refined. Continue to soak, because the wool, once it was soaked and it was squeezed and it was stomped and it was smashed, the wool actually not only became clean and pure, but it became stronger. The wool would actually be stronger. And there's a strength that we need in these last days that we don't have. And the only way we can get that is to be in that fuller soap and be willing to be squeezed. And so that's where he has so many of us right now. So God, that we would be willing to stay in the fire as long as you need us to be in the fire, God. Lord, that we would soak in the fuller's soap as long as you need us to stay there, God. And then that we would endure that hammering process, that squeezing process, Lord, that we can have the strength that you need us to have, God, to endure everything that we need to endure and to do the work, God, that you would have us do, and to keep our integrity, God, that we would keep our moral fortitude, Lord, and be able to stand firm against the wiles of the enemy, Lord. We need this strength that we get from being in this fuller soap. So God, I thank you, Lord, that some of us are actually headed to the kiln. Some of us, Lord, are headed to the refiner's fire. Some of us are headed to the fuller's field. And I just thank you, Lord, that in this time, God, and it's, even though it's a hard process, Lord, and it is not fun, God, the outcome is so amazing, Lord, because in the end, Father, we look more and more like you. And it's just so worth it. It's so worth the process. So I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, because you are a worthy God. You are a beautiful God. You are a lovely God. Your love is like a flooding river overflowing its banks with kindness, Lord. You crown us with love and mercy. You make us kings. You kiss our heart with forgiveness in spite of all we've done. You are our soul's celebration, O Lord. We love you, O God. We love you, O Lord, for you're glorious. You are so glorious, Jesus. You are glorious.
Sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice. Chains have been broken, eyes have been opened, an army of dry bones is starting to rise. Death is defeated, we are victorious, you are alive. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. Hallelujah, singing hallelujah, hallelujah, singing hallelujah, hallelujah, singing hallelujah, hallelujah,
make his praise. Glorious, glorious, for his name. Glorious, 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 make his praise. Glorious, glorious.
God, we lift up one voice. To our God, we lift up one song. To our God, we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God, we lift up one voice. To our God, we lift up one song.
To our God we lift up one voice.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips.
Oh, let the heavens open, let your kingdom move, all our faith and hope in our great God. Let your kingdom move, all our faith and hope in our great God. Let the heavens open, let your kingdom move, all our faith and hope in our
with angels and saints, we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing, worthy are you, Lord.
Such extravagant. Oh, it doesn't make sense. I'll never comprehend the way you love us. It's unthinkable. Only heaven knows just how far you go.
Say you love praises rise endlessly. We lift our eyes right to the King, who was, who is, forever you will be. The King of all eternity. Oh, my praise says rise endlessly. I lift my eyes right to the King. Oh, my praises rise, oh, endlessly, oh, endlessly. Oh, you will be praised. Oh,
glorious, glorious. Shout his name, glorious, glorious, glorious.
You sing it.
Make his praise. Enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice to heaven, singing worthy, you are. Be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven, singing worthy, so worthy. You're worthy of my everything. You're worthy of my all I have. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. You're so worthy. You're so worthy, Lord. Oh,
there's no heart unseen. There's no space between you and I, oh, you and I. 'Cause you are closer than the very oxygen I'm breathing in. Oh, I breathe you in. 'Cause you are God with us. You Jesus. where we want to be. The only place we want to be is in your presence, oh God.
All I need is you.
It's all we need.
All I need is you. Is you. All I need is you.
It's all we need, Jesus.
All I need is you. Is you. All I need is you.
The one who made the stars.
All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I need is you.
Beside you, you are the Holy One. And oh, and there is no one like you. There is none beside you. You are the Holy One. There is no one, there is no one. And there is no one like you. There is none beside you. You are the Holy One. Oh, the Holy One. You're the Holy One. You're the Holy One. Oh, you're my only one. The Holy One. Oh.
Most High God,
Most High God,
Most High God.
You are the Most High God. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, O God. Oh, what kind of song can we sing that's worthy to sing before our King? Oh, our heart, it overflows. Oh, our soul's about to burst with your love. With your love. What kind of offering can we bring? What kind of song can you sing for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What kind of song can we sing for you? What kind of song can we sing for you? What kind of offering can we bring to you? But our hearts, Lord, it's all you want, God. But our hearts, Lord, it's all you want, God. It's not in the song, it's not in the words, it's not in the music. Oh no, it's in our hearts, God. It's in our hearts, God. It's what you want, what you long for, what you need every moment of every day. For us to give it up, for us to give it up. Our hearts, God. Our hearts, God. It's not much of a sacrifice to give our hearts, God.
Father, we thank you right now, Lord, for change of direction. Change of direction in this room, Lord. Father, I thank you that right now in this atmosphere, you are speaking. I thank you right now, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Some of you right now are receiving revelation. Make no mistake, he is speaking to you. Father, I thank you for mantles being released in this room. Lord, I thank you that this is just not an evening service, but that you have drawn us here for us to encounter you. We're here to encounter you, and you are releasing revelation, and you are releasing mantles in this atmosphere. You are changing directions. Come on, there's revelation in the room. I release eyes to see visions right now in this setting. Come on, something's being seen right now. Visions in this setting right now. We say yes to you, Lord. Come on, I just believe with all my heart the Lord is asking, will you say yes to me? Will you say yes to what I'm showing you? Will you step in to the dimension that I'm calling you to? Will you follow me? Will you follow me?
Will you follow me where you don't want to go? Will you follow me where you don't want to go? Will you follow me where you don't want to go? Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you listen when you don't want to hear? Will you listen when you don't want to hear? Will you listen when you don't want to hear? Says the Lord, says the Lord.
If you want to, you can begin to make your way back to your seat. Buckle up. It's just getting started. I believe the word of the Lord is going to come into this place. I believe that there is. I hear it. There's a shifting of direction coming. The word is going to bring a shifting of direction for some of us in the room. I want to give you an opportunity to sow into Denver. Denver's not just a guest speaker. He's our friend. He's part of our family. I would say he's probably been here more than any other person. That's because he's family. It's not every day you get an Irishman to come to town, but it's always fun when they do. So I want you to pray about the best offering you can give this evening. If you're making out a check, you can make it out to Father's house. Father, I just ask right now that every person in this room would hear the seed that you desire for them to release. Father, as we bring Denver and as we sow into Denver, Lord, we're not just giving an offering, but we're sowing into the nations. Lord, we come into the agreement with the word this morning, Lord. We believe that you've given us influence in the nations of the earth. We believe, Lord, that you've given us influence in England and Ireland. We believe, Lord, that you've given us influence in these nations. In Scotland, Lord, you've given us influence. Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales. We believe, Lord. And Lord, we send seed out of here. Seed for our destiny we sow tonight, God. Seed for destiny we sow tonight. So I thank you that you speak to every person and you give them clear direction on the seed that they are to release. We bless it. We bless Denver. We pray that his every need would be met. Lord, we pray for his wife. We pray for Nadine. We pray for the children. We ask, Lord, that the blessing of the Lord would rest on them in North Allerton right now in the middle of their home, God. We say the protection over those children. Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, we thank you right now that the call to ministry is upon them, and we just ask for protection. The protection of the Lord and the angels of the Lord to protect them and watch over them and protect them and bring them into the ministry. We pray for the ministry in North Allerton, Lord. We ask for divine wisdom. We ask for divine connection. We say, let the ministry in North Allerton be blessed, God. Let key people come. Let divine alignment happen, God. And we bless you and we honor you for it. You can go ahead and pass those. Well, thank you for being here this evening. We shared on Facebook. I want you to share. But next Sunday night, there will be a youth and young adult service. And you want to share that as we share it on Facebook. I really believe the Lord is beginning to do something. I know that we're working diligently with Morgan. What some people always miss, or some people miss here in Bluefield, is we talk about going to the nations, but the nations are right here. We have two college campuses right here that we could walk to either one of them. So the Lord is beginning to give us strategy to tap in to the international students, all the students, but the international students. Let me tell you this, I didn't get a chance to say this on Wednesday, but we're planning to provide a hot Thanksgiving meal to people that are away from home on a Sunday evening. I believe we're going to do it on Sunday evening. Is that right? And Morgan's already got building relationship with both colleges. So I want to tell you that because we'll be asking you to help volunteer. But we want to get the nations while they're here. We want to be wise. I mean, we could send people all over the world if we build relationship with them in these college campuses. He said the nations were opening up to this ministry. Well, the nations are already here. Who knows that we might develop a relationship with someone from other nations in these college campuses, and all of a sudden, you don't know what door opens from that.
So we want to bless them and we want to serve them. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. It seemed like the thing to do at the moment. But Father, we release Denver to bring the word of the Lord. We open our ears. Come on, say, I open my ears. I open my eyes. I will receive the word of the Lord. I will take it in my heart. I will act on it. I will be obedient to it. In Jesus' name. Would you welcome Denver Thompson as he comes this evening?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. I don't know about you, but like Darl said, I felt there was a real shift in the atmosphere, in the room. A week or so ago on a Saturday morning, I was at a men's breakfast, a leadership kind of men's breakfast thing. There was probably about 60 guys there. And I just kind of had my eyes closed and my hands open. I was just there to receive. And all of a sudden, I just felt a breeze. Anybody that's visited England will realize we don't have air conditioning. Well, we do, but only in like hotels, really. We don't need air conditioning in England because it's cold anyway. You know, it gets about, on our hottest summer, maybe you get about 65 degrees or something like that, but 70 maybe, but right now it'd be like 4, 5, for about 25, 30. It's quite cold, chilly. When I came the other day, it was really blustery and windy and wet and dreary. But there was just this breeze that swept through the... Well, I felt it was like sweeping all the way through. It was just like somebody had swung two or three doors open, or somebody had pressed a button for the air conditioning to come on, and all of a sudden all this wind just blew through. The church doesn't have air conditioning. They do have like a heat fan, but that wasn't on. And the next thing, I just felt somebody walk in the room. You know when you feel a presence? Have you ever been at home and it's felt like eerie? You know, like kind of there's somebody else in the room, or there's somebody else in the house. And you know your husband's not there, or your mother or wife, or you know your sons. You know the house is really empty. There's only you there. But you get that kind of eerie feeling that there's somebody else. And that's what it felt like. It just felt like somebody walked in the room. And that was just what I don't know about you, but I just felt that tonight. I just felt a real breeze. And I really felt like somebody has walked in the room. And I believe tonight the King is present. And I don't believe that's the first time. I don't believe it's the last time. You carry the King. When you come into this room, you carry who he is. But there's something about the weighty presence and the manifestation of his glory and his presence that we feel. It's not so much a touch or a feel. It's not a phenomena. It's not a buzz. It's not a drink or a drug. It's not a substance. But it is the very presence of God that moves or touches or manifests himself on each one of us. I don't know tonight if you feel that, but I feel that. I feel that. I feel he's sat in this room. I don't know how he's going to take us, what level he's going to take us to, what he's going to really say, but it was funny because I was kind of sat there and I just kind of listened and I just kind of stood up and I just kind of looked around and saw Morgan just kind of stood there. And, I mean, I'm not really one for always... the older I get... the very few names I remember. I've got a few years before I catch up to Sean yet, so I'm all right. He just celebrated his 60th birthday, told me. Yeah. And I won't mention Doyle. He's the grandfather of the movement. But I don't know, I just kind of looked around and I saw Morgan. The first thing I did when I turned around, this name Morgan just came to my head. And I don't know, I just felt God wanted to just say to you, God sees you as Gideon. He sees you as a mighty warrior. One of the things people saw of Gideon was that he was weak and that he was feeble. Naturally, in his own eyes, he was weak and feeble. He was in the wine press and he was threshing out the corn and doing the things, that the obscure things in the background that nobody sees. And I thought it was very interesting that Doyle just mentioned Morgan. So I thought, well, that was obviously confirmation of what God was saying. Because how many of you know, God always confirms his word. So when God wants to speak, he'll always make sure that through the mouth of two or three witnesses, that his word is being secure and that his word is being decreed and declared, and also that his word is being backed up and that it dovetails together. And I felt God was saying that to you, Morgan, that he was saying that you're a mighty warrior. And I also felt what he was saying was influence and affluence. And as Doyle kind of stood up, he talked about influence, talked about this church, and he talked about this area, then started to talk about two campuses. And what I saw you doing was running a race. But in this race, you know, like when you are running a race, whether it's a 100-meter sprint at the Olympics and the World Championship, what you have is you have separate nations that do all the sports. So, for instance, like with synchronized swimming, the trouble with the Irish for the last World Championship, the Irish got thrown out of the synchronized swimming because they were copying each other. Maybe you won't get that at all. Okay, that's an Irish joke, but you obviously just don't get that. Synchronized swimming, you're meant to do synchronized actions. But we say about the Irish, they got thrown out because they were copying each other. In other words, you know, never mind. But you see, what happens is, every country represents, every person represents a different country. So you might have four people that represent the United Kingdom, four people that represent America, four people that represent Zimbabwe, four people that represent Australia. What you'll find is when they do the relay, they don't run as different nations together, they run as one nation. But what I saw Morgan doing, I don't know why, it's just, I mean, I'm not just pinpointing on Morgan, I'm not trying to pick on you. We can have a fight afterwards if you want, but you might win, but especially if you start rapping on me. But what I saw was that he was running this race, and it was more of a marathon than it was a sprint. But he was in one lane, and there was other nations running with him, in parallel with him. And what I felt God was saying is that he's called you as a mighty warrior, but he has also called you as a runner to run the race. And I felt what he was saying is that there's a lane that he wants you to run, and he doesn't want you to go to the left or to the right, but he has preordained times and moments of favor for you as you are committed and faithful in the lane that you're in. And I feel that the enemy's tried to pull you into several different lanes at different times, and right now it's almost like you're in a channel. And what God is saying, stay in that channel. And you see what happens when you're running and you're in a channel, you get into that groove, all of a sudden it's like the wind behind you. It's like when I go back on the aeroplane, the time going back is shorter than when it is coming to America. Why? Because there's something about the Gulf Stream, there's something about the air, there's something about the atmosphere that allows the plane to go back a lot quicker. And I believe God is saying it's not going to be in your own strength, Zechariah 4:6, not in your own might, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so just to encourage you with that. And that God sees you as a mighty warrior. You know, Gideon was weak amongst all of his peers. He was known and disregarded. He was least in his family and things. Sounds a bit like David, doesn't it? But you see, God uses the wimps to become warriors, if you like. And he takes the warriors to become worshippers. How many of you know that many of us are warriors, but God wants us to be worshippers? Many of us are wimps, but he wants us to be warriors. Many of us are on the cruise ship, but he wants us to be on the battleship. Many of us are just cruising through life. Many of us are just enjoying life. And if God was to hit you over the head with a baseball bat, you still wouldn't feel it. Like some of you didn't feel the presence of God in this place tonight. So God wants to shake us so that we get our antennas open and we become receptive to when he walks into the room. Because when he walks into the room, everything changes. Remember we said this morning from Mark 2, verse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, we talked about the aspect of Jesus being in the house. And we said, is Jesus in our house? And would he be welcomed if he was to knock on the door of our houses? Would we have to remove some things, put some magazines away, some DVDs? Would we have to turn something off the television? Would we have to get the vacuum or the Hoover out? Would we have to start cleaning up? And I said, you know, the simple aspect of life is, show me your house and I'll show you your life. And you might say that's not very loving, it's not very kind, it's not very compassionate. Well, show me your house and I'll show you your life. Because when Jesus is in your house, the presence of God manifests. When Jesus is in your house, the presence of God heals. When Jesus is in your house, every need is met. When Jesus is in your house, he brings restoration, reconciliation. He brings a hope and brings a future. When Jesus is in your house, you begin to make the right choices and the right decisions. Are you with me? This evening, I want to just open up a little bit to us this evening about being accepted. Everybody say accepted. We all want to be accepted, don't we? Whether it's in Christ or in the world, in the workplace, amongst our peers, amongst our friends, we want to know that we've been accepted or feel that we're accepted. What does it mean to be accepted? It means that we would be loved or cared for, or somebody will like us. People will laugh at our Irish jokes, which you don't do. So I feel very dejected and rejected tonight. I don't feel accepted at all because you don't laugh at my Irish jokes. It's a bit like the guy on the building site. How do you know who the Irishman is? He's the one that carries the wheelbarrow. Maybe you don't. Maybe you see, the thing is, in America, the wheelbarrow might be something totally different. In England, a wheelbarrow is when you're wheeling sand and soil around, but the Irish guy is the one that carries it. A bit like Sean maybe would do if he was on a building site. I tell you what, it'd take quite a bit to get Sean to do some work, though, wouldn't it? Maybe he won't come to England. That might be a blessing. No, I'm joking. Might not cost us anything. I'm joking. Apparently, I've heard he likes a good steak, so he's always on the. He always looks at the expensive part of the menu. You know, he's truly saved if he's looking at that side, because there's only one person that pays the bills. Amen. The Bible says, "My Father owns a cattle on a thousand hills." Amen. So we are blessed. Are we blessed? Yeah. Everybody say blessed. So to be accepted means that we are honored. Means that we are in a place where we feel valued, where there's worth, and in a place where we're in family. And so, you know, when you're born as a baby into a household, into your mother and your father, you're accepted into that household as a blood child. I want to encourage you tonight that we've been accepted into the household of God, into the family of God. And I want to encourage you tonight that each one of us have got a relationship with God, and God has got a relationship with us. But first, we need to understand the identity of that relationship. And the identity of that relationship is not birthed in you, but it's birthed in the relationship that God has to you. You see, acceptance in God is not based upon our ability, but based upon our inability. Our acceptance in the world is based upon ability. When we're accepted in our own families, it's because that we please our family, our mother or our father. If they say come in at 9 p.m. at night, and the children come in at 9 p.m. at night, then the children feel accepted because what? They've obeyed the rule of the house. You know, children, you expect a certain degree or certain outline of responsibility, and there's areas of discipline. And so in some ways, they feel accepted because why? Oh, they've listened to you. Or they've honored your word, or they've adhered to do something that you've asked them to do. But in the kingdom of God, really, it's quite opposite to that. Not that we shouldn't obey God, not that we shouldn't please God, not that we shouldn't honor God, not that we shouldn't walk in areas of obedience in his word and also in our deeds and our actions, but no matter the situation of our lives, God accepts us for who we are and where we are. And so in that acceptance, Number one, we need to realize is that in that acceptance is that we have a Father who loves us. Now, what I want to encourage you tonight is that we're not serving a father tonight through law. We're serving a father through love. And I don't know if I've shared this with you, this outline with you before, but there's a big difference in serving somebody through love and serving somebody through law. Now, right back in the garden, in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, we know the whole outline, don't we, of the fall of man. We understand that there was a whole outline where Adam and Eve fell, and they disobeyed God, and they fell from their identity that they had in Christ. Genesis 1:26, it says, they were made in the image of God and in his likeness. There is two different things there. There is image and likeness. If I was to say to you, what is your image? You would describe your image to me. Your image might be that you're short, that you're stubby, that you've got a ginger beard, that you've got freckles, your big ears, big nose, and a big mouth. Does that kind of sum me up? Certainly not talking about Sean, because he ain't got a beard, so I must be talking about me. Well, he's not got a full beard. But that would be the image of Denver Thompson. But if I was to say, who are you the likeness of, what does it say? So for instance, if anybody's on Facebook, you can follow us at Life Encounters International Ministries or Life Encounters UK Ireland. You can follow us on Twitter. It would be great for you to follow us and pray with us and stand with us. On Twitter, it's Life Encounters. I have my own personal account on Facebook, Denver Thompson, but I'm not sure if you, I think that's quite full. But what you'll see is on there, now and again, I'll post pictures of my family, and I'll post pictures of the younger ones. And you'll find that like Gabriel and Noah, Noah's like 10 months, Gabriel's coming up to 3 years, he'll be three on Christmas Day, the 25th of December. He was a Christmas Day baby. And but people will say he's in your likeness. And so that means that not only in the likeness, but he's in my image. And so what does it mean to be in his image? It means that you've taken on the likeness and the form of somebody. And so that means that here when he said in Genesis 1 and verse 26, he's saying that, look, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. If I was to say image to you, an image is a picture. And it says a picture says 1,000 words. But did you know that I could send a picture to my wife saying that I'm in Bluefield, West Virginia, but actually I could be in Bangkok or China or anywhere? Because that image does not portray necessarily where I am or who I am, but it portrays something of an image of a place that really anybody, so it's a static picture. An image is a static picture. But then it says, in his likeness. And to be in the likeness of somebody means that you carry something. In order to be accepted means that we are carrying something tonight. Are you with me? What are we carrying? Before the fall, Adam and Eve were carrying the likeness of who? God. They didn't have flesh, they were spiritual beings. They were created spirit, soul, and body. They didn't have flesh, they didn't have skin. They were clothed in the glory of God. They weren't only in the image of God, but they were in the likeness of God. So they were God, they were the representative of God on earth. He said, look, let us make man in our likeness, in our image. So before the fall, everybody, Adam and Eve, it wasn't many people, but they were created like God. So they were like the image and the exact personality of God. They carried the DNA of God. They carried the glory. They carried the presence. They carried everything that God's kingdom represented. But unfortunately, after the fall, when we hear about a lie, what happened after the fall was, instead of it being spirit, soul, and body, it became body, soul, and spirit. The spirit became suppressed. You wonder why there's such a struggle in our lives today? Because we still, in our natural flesh, choose to see God through the actual natural eyes instead of our spiritual eyes. So what we do is we don't see ourselves as spiritual beings. We don't see ourselves as accepted. We see ourselves as dejected. We see ourselves as not accepted, but we see ourselves through the flesh. And so we suppress the Spirit of God, and the only time that Spirit comes alive is when somebody prophesies, decrees and declares. As soon as we get back in worship, or we get in devotion, or we read the Word of God, as soon as we fall back in fellowship with God, as soon as we fall back in love with God, we feel like, again, we're back in that place of spirituality. But what happens is we suppress the Spirit because we do not see ourselves in the likeness of God. We see ourselves in the image of God. And when you see an image, it's a singular snapshot. It's a bit like a picture. A picture is an image, but not necessarily a likeness of anybody. But when you come to God and you realize that you are not a natural being any longer, but you are now a spiritual being, you realize you don't only have the image of God, but you now have the likeness of God. Because yes, you might look like your father, you might have the image of your mother, but let me tell you, you are in the likeness of God. I don't want to be too deep on this, and we don't have a lot of time to unearth this. This is a part of identification in Christ. But I felt tonight to release that, and especially as the atmosphere changed tonight, I felt God directing me in a slightly different way with this word. So you see, the big thing is we need to realize that it's time for us to realize the likeness of God that we are carrying. Many people can portray an image, but it is not who they are. I said many people can portray an image, but it is not who they are. An image gives you an idea of who they are, but a likeness gives you an identity of who they are. You're listening to me tonight. What did I say? An image gives what? An idea of who they are, but a likeness gives you an identity of who they are. So for instance, a passport. On the passport picture, not only gives an idea of who I am, but it gives an image of who I am. That's why when I come through customs, like I came through JFK yesterday, the customer, through customs, the police officer, whoever it is that's looking at me, he looks at me, he looks at my passport, and he sees not only a likeness, but he sees the image. I've got news for you tonight. Keith, Morgan, Sean, Doyle, when God looks at you, what does he see? He doesn't see the image of Sean, but he sees the likeness of himself, the Father, in Sean. He no longer looks at Sean in the flesh of the Boone family or the bloodline of the Boones, but he looks at Sean and he sees him accepted in the beloved, not based upon ability, but based upon what? Acceptance through the blood of Christ. Not based upon ability, but his availability to receive Christ. That's why when Adam and Eve were created, they instantly were created with that image and that likeness. But when that sin entered, which was through Lucifer, and incidentally, it's very interesting that we read this little outline here of Lucifer in Isaiah, and we read it here in Isaiah 14. And again, you know, Isaiah was a prophet. It was a prophetic declaration. It's a prophetic book, is Isaiah. And Isaiah says this in 14 and verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart. Now listen to this. It's a matter of the heart, and it's the heart of the matter that counts. I said it's a matter of the heart, and it's a matter of the heart that counts. Let me tell you this. God is doing a sifting and a shifting in his church. He wants the heart of the church to be right. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart is very important. That's why it's said here. For you have said in your heart. Let me tell you this. When there's rebellion, it comes from the heart. I will ascend into heaven. Remember, this was what Lucifer said. Lucifer saying, I will ascend into heaven. This is all about identity. We need to realize why the fall was and what happened to Lucifer and why Lucifer is evident today and why he was a serpent in the Garden of Eden. That serpent wanted to be like God. That serpent wanted to have the image and the likeness of God. Remember when he fell, here it's saying, I. Everybody say I. You see, I is ego. Notice what the middle letter of sin is. S-I-N. The middle letter is I. I think it's the same in America as it is in England, right? So the middle letter of sin is I. Just to make sure and clarify that. I is about I, me, and myself. It's about ego. It's about gratification of the flesh. I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice it's I want to be like. I want to be in his image. I want to be in his likeness. That is somebody that is striving to be something that they cannot be or something that they're not able to be. How many of us can hold our hands up and say we've tried to do that in the flesh? Where we've tried to be something that we are not. We've tried to please God. We've tried to please somebody. We've tried to have a certain image or carry a certain demeanor or carry a certain aspect of life. But really, it doesn't become us because it's not who we really are. This is why the fall came. Verse 15. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest parts of the depths of the pit. 16. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory. Does that sound familiar today? All of the kingdoms, all of the kings, sleeping. Everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like a abominable branch. Sounds like the abominable snowman, doesn't it? But it's not the abominable snowman. Like the garment of those who are slain. Thrust through with a sword. Who go down to the stones of the pit. Like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. This is a synopsis of the enemy Lucifer, who is a counterfeit of the real identity in Christ. This was a counterfeit person wanting to have the image and the likeness of God. But he did it in a totally wrong way. You see, the enemy tries to be like God through stealing identity, not accepting identity. There's a big difference in how you choose to come to God. You can either come to him by stealing identity, or trying to, or by acceptance of identity in Christ. You see, recently I've had quite a lot. It's very strange, but unfortunately, I have a very good bank and a very good bank account. But recently I've had a lot of fraud on my account. Very strange stuff. I've had Facebook hacked into, I've had emails, even though I changed my password very regular. I've had a lot of stuff happen, a lot of interesting things. We've had things like bailiffs come and knock at our door twice this year, One person asked for £2,500, which is probably about like $3,500, and the other one asked for about $550. And it's like, when the bailiffs have come, that's like prison time or car time. They want to take stuff out of your house. But I knew twice the enemy was robbing. These were accusations. One was as a ministry with the £2,500, some conferences we did for a few years, and this one guy was running it through his till. He wasn't running it as actually paying the bills, but he was running it as just kind of one of those things, you know, when you go there and paying the bill, he just put it through as a sundry type thing. And instead of actually paying it as hotel rooms or facility rooms, he was doing it as sundries. So obviously, maybe there's other people that he's come against and said this stuff against. I don't know. I don't know his history. But I mean, I went to the small claims court and I didn't even have a lawyer. I spent no money on it. In fact, the guy at the end of it had to spend a lot of money on it because he was just falsely accusing an accusation. The other one was a parking fine from last year in July, that when we were in Halifax, me and my wife just hanging out one day, and we came back 20 minutes late. Okay, I accept the fact that there was a £25 fine and we need to pay that, so that's fine. I wrote a check within 14 days. You write a check, you get it less than the full price, and I paid it all. All of a sudden, a year later, I landed from coming back from Ireland in July time. My wife rings me as soon as I land about 8:30 in the morning. She's like, we've got some bailiffs. We owe this £344. She said, what are we going to do about it? I was like, what do you mean we're going to do about it? I was like, it's been paid. She's like, no, this guy is adamant it's not been paid. Cut a long story short, the house we don't own, the house we rent. Interesting, the lady that owns our house, her husband, she's called Mrs. Thompson. How interesting is that? And there's seven Thompsons that live on our street, and we live on Trinity Gardens. So we are in the heavenlies. But there are seven Thompsons that live on Trinity Gardens where we live. I mean, this is, listen, some of this stuff you would not, but this year has been an interesting year for me, I'll tell you. I can ask my wife. You want to know who I am? Ask my wife. And I'll tell you, it's been like walking through treacle. God has done some fantastic stuff. It's been a great year, but I'll tell you, it's been like in that press. And like Tony was saying about, you know, like in the fire, I felt like a little stumpy fat guy just walking back in the fire again. But I thought you were describing me and getting your own back on me for picking on your husband, Doyle, you know. I thought she's going to get all these years of, you know. I thought you would, because, listen, I'm being honest with you, man. I fire it from the heart. This is not games. This is reality of stuff. Even ministers become attacked. Verbal attack. All manner of attacks. My wife recently was attacked. She had to go into the council office because they accused her of earning cash in hand. She's not worked for, 2 years or 2.5 years with the children? And somebody accused her twice recently of, like, working cash in hand. And you got to go, all this assessment. I mean, it's just a load of absolute junk. But the enemy is accuser. And you see, look what was... That's a long story. I don't know if you guys are filming any of this stuff. I don't know if it's maybe... But the enemy is an accuser. And so the enemy comes. Right now, the enemy comes to attack, to steal, kill, and destroy. But you see, what we need to realize that we're accepted in the Beloved. All those lies that came against us, praise God, have been dropped. The parking fine was paid in time. The check they had, which you do anything by check, the actual banks will keep your checks for years. And so I was great. What had happened is they'd received the check within the 14 days, but they chose not to cash the check till the 18th of August. And what they were trying to say is that I had not sent the check within the 14 days because they didn't cash it till the 18th of August. Now in England, you can cash a check up to 6 months later, you see. And so you've got that whole 6 months, where you can actually cash that. I don't know if you've ever had that, but I mean, I've given a check to people before, and I've gone to the account and thought, oh, great, there's money there. And then all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, they've cashed the check and taken the money out. And I'm like, oh, man, I thought that was already paid, 5 weeks ago. I don't know if you've ever come across that. So they can get up to 6 months. So, goodness me, you know what I'm saying is that the government's are liars. They're robbers. And you see, the governments will always come after you. They'll always try and make you the victim. They make you the victim before they ask any questions. And this is like the enemy. You see, the enemy has come to steal. It's like, you know, really, it's like what happens with your mobile phones or your iPads or emails. You see, recently my phone, I'm due for a new, my phone froze a few weeks ago. And what I did is I just thought, well, I'll reset everything. I didn't want to, but I thought I'll just reset it. Factory reset. Boom, right back to the beginning. I lost everything on there. Contacts, everything. Obviously, email is different because that's a different thing. But I lost everything. Everybody's numbers. I didn't have Sean's, I didn't have Doyle's. Everybody's numbers. I tried to plug into iCloud. I tried to plug into iTunes. Didn't want to know. You don't. Your identity doesn't exist. You don't exist. Denver Thompson, you don't exist. So I've had to go through, you know, like old school, pen and paper. For some reason, the phone just did not back anything. It told me it did. It told me on the 23rd of September that everything was backed up before I did it. Nothing is there. Very interesting. Have you noticed on your computers how you can have a recycle bin? Have you noticed in your emails that you can delete your emails, but they're not fully deleted? And you can go back in there and you can take them out. How many of you know that when you buy a computer, it comes in default? You've got to put security on there. When you get a phone, it comes in default mode. Many of us are living in default mode in our identity in Christ, and we're allowing the enemy to carry on stealing our identity. Because what is happening is we are not setting the settings on our life to be able to walk from that place of being a spiritual being, but we carry on walking in the default mechanism of the flesh. And what we are doing is we are recycling. And what we do is instead of deleting and going to the actual recycle bin and deleting the junk and the crap and the sin and the worries and the anxieties and the stress and all this, what we do is we recycle them. We go back to the recycle bin and we put them back into our files. We bring them back into our lives. And what we do is we carry the image into the expressed image of Christ. We carry our own image instead of the likeness of God. Are you with me? John 8:14 says this: the enemy is the father of lies. He's also the father of half-truths. Half-truths. Grey areas. Look at the aspect of Genesis 3, 1 to 3, where it calls out and says, did God say? Notice the serpent never said, God did not say. You see, when God comes to you, he'll always, the enemy will always twist it. When God speaks a word, when God decrees a thing, when God speaks something, when God promises you something, when the enemy shows up, he won't lie, but he'll twist the truth. Because he's a father of half-truths. He's a father of lies. And so what he'll do is he'll twist the word. So notice in Genesis, when the fall was happening and he came into the garden, he says to them about the tree. When God had said to him, don't eat of that tree, what does he say to them? He says, did God say? He doesn't say, God did not say. So when the enemy comes to attack us, when he comes to take our likeness, when he comes to attack our identity, when he comes to attack our call and our relationships, what does he say to us? Sean, did God say? Doll, did God really promise you that? Tony, has God decreed that? Did God really make you in his image? Is that promise going to come to pass? Morgan, was that really the word from God that Denver brought? You know, was it? You know, have you noticed how he always brings, he never out and out says, Sean, that's not true. But he makes it twist so that what you do is you walk in this area of you don't choose to accept. And what you do is you begin to doubt yourself and your relationship with God. So then what happens is you walk from this place of identity in this place of uncertainty. Did God say? He never said, God never said. Twist is the father of lies, half-truths. He goes on to say then, you know, when Adam and Eve, he said, where are you? Are you naked? Who told you? You were naked. You see, they were out of position. They'd been depossessed of their identity. They'd allowed the enemy to steal their identity. They'd been displaced from relationship. So what happened is they had been what? They were in the wrong position. They were out of position. They'd been dislocated. They'd been dispossessed of their identity. They were in the wrong place, so had no relationship. We're talking about identity. Remember when we take on the likeness of something, you begin to look like them. You begin to walk like them. You begin to talk like them. How are we walking? How are we talking? What are we looking like tonight? We need to realize the enemy cannot stop God's word. He cannot stop you walking in your identity. He cannot stop you walking in your promise, your authority, your call, your anointing, your destiny, and your purpose. You see, the words that God has given to us that says he'll be with us all the time is Emmanuel, God with us, which is I am. See, God is I am. He is ever present in every situation and circumstance. The Bible tells us that, what does it say? God tells us what? I am the light of the world. What else? What some of the other I ams that I am? I am the bread of life. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. But what does the enemy do to us? He turns it around to say what? Am I? You see that little twist of lies, that little twist of deception, that little twist of deceit. When God says, I am the apple of his eye, the enemy says, am I? The enemy of our soul, our intellect, our own will says, am I really in the beloved? Am I really accepted? Am I really in Christ? Am I really a joint heir with God? Am I really a citizen of heaven? Am I really a son of God? The enemy will always twist the truth in our lives so that we receive second best, so that we become a victim of fraud, or we become a victim of stolen identity. As God told you, who told you? Again, when the serpent came in, he said, what did he say? Who told you you were naked? Identity, relationship, fellowship had all been broken. Very interesting tonight that we need to realize that we've been accepted in the beloved. Matthew 19 and verse 26, it says this. Jesus turned to his disciples. He says to his disciples this. He says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Why does he say that? Because when we have our identity in the things of the flesh, everything is impossible. But when we have our identity in God, who is the God of all flesh, then the impossibilities become the Him possibilities. We remove the I am, instead of them being impossible, to being Him possible. We remove them to H-I-M. I want to encourage you tonight that everything that seems impossible in the flesh, in your acceptance in the beloved, becomes possible. Because in the flesh, man gets the glory. Man is about the image. Man gets the likeness. But in Christ, we walk in the identity of who we are in Christ. You see, we serve a God of love, not a God of... What happens is, you know, if I become stranded here, and when I married my wife was Salt, her name was Nadine Salt. When she married me, we signed on the dotted line, we signed a covenant. And so she inherited my name. She has now become Nadine Thompson. So we are now Mr. and Mrs. Thompson. And so my wife married me through law. Now, okay, there was, obviously, there's covenant, there's intimacy, there's love. You know, you don't just go out of your way and just marry somebody for a deed. You don't just marry somebody for the name's sake. A lot of that goes on in the world. But real love is not about a deed. Real love is about a relationship. And so what happens is through law, I inherited a wife. Through law, my wife inherited my last name. Through law, I inherited a father and a mother-in-law. And my wife inherited a father and mother-in-law. My parents are still alive. They live in Ireland. And Doyle has met them. And here's the thing. So if I become stranded here in the United States, let's say I get to the airport, I lose my ticket, and I lose my passport, and all of a sudden I'm just stranded. I phone home. Let's say I can't get hold of my mum and dad, but I can get hold of Nadine and Nadine's dad. I phone Nadine, and Nadine's like, well, I'm struggling a bit, really, you know. what can I do? Did I speak to Vincent? And she's like, oh, I phoned your dad, so I speak to her dad. And her daddy's like, well, you know what, Denver, he's like, I'm a bit struggling at the moment. Let me find out what I can do. Because really, he probably don't believe that I'm stranded. Maybe he's like thinking I'm going to try and get some more money out of him. Maybe he thinks I'm lying to him. Maybe he doesn't really, maybe he become insecure. Why? Because I only know him through law, I don't know him through love. And so the aspect of it is this, is that as soon as I phone my mother or my father in Ireland, I can guarantee one thing, they're going to get me out of the United States of America as fast as they can. They're going to get me an appointment at the embassy, they're going to send me some money, however it is, through PayPal, through bank transaction, through, you know, kind of Western Union, whatever it is, they're going to get some money to me so they can help me. Why is that? Because I have a father through the flesh who loves me, or I have a father through law who accepts me just through the fact of standing on the dotted line and looking after his wife, or being a father to his, the children of his, of his daughter. But what happens is what? I am serving what? A father today through love, not a father through law. And so when we come to Jesus, we serve Jesus through love, we don't serve him through law. But when we serve the enemy through law, but we don't serve him through love. And so we need to realize that we've been accepted into the beloved, and we serve God through love because we have a father who loves us and who gave himself for us. You see, here's the thing. The law came through Moses. The law was a deed. Grace is a seed. The law is a deed. Grace is a seed. How can grace be a seed? You say to me, well, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Where did Jesus Christ come from? It's not a trick question. Where did Jesus Christ come from? Whose seed did he come from? He came through the seed of David. He came through the seed of the Father. You see, we read, and it is the same accepted in Ephesians 1, verse 1 to 7, as it is where we read in Luke, where it says that the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary. And it said that what happened, she conceived a son. Here's the deal. The law, the deed, the works of flesh came through Moses, but the grace of acceptance came through the seed of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of God the Father, of David, which was a what? An incorruptible seed. If Jesus had been born of the seed of Joseph, he would have been born into sin. Are you with me? So grace was birthed through the seed of Christ, of God. And so we have received that freely. Today, we are accepted in the beloved because the beloved never sinned. So when Jesus was born, he was born of incorruptible seed, indestructible seed. He was born of a holy seed. He didn't come through law. He came through the seed of grace. So our identity in Christ is not based upon law, but it's based upon grace. And that grace, the two twins of the Bible, grace and truth, came through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1. Let's read from verse 4. Just as he chose us, let's read from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Notice the law was given, grace was received. Big difference. It says the law was given, but we receive grace. If you're given something, it's something you can give back. But when you receive something, you receive that to yourself. You become the receptive of something that is given to you. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Everybody say love. Everybody say love. Having predestined us. And actually that word adoption there is not the right word. I'm sorry. But that word adoption, you can kill me afterwards and shoot me and do all you want afterwards. That word adoption is the wrong word. Listen to this. In Christ, you have not been adopted. Again, to adopt somebody means that you do what? If I was to adopt a child that is not my child, what do? I go to court, I sign some legal documentations that gives them what? A lawful right for me to be their father. So if I was to be adopted into the kingdom, it would mean I was adopted through law. I don't come to Jesus through law. I come to Jesus through grace and truth. So that word adopted that we use in the modern day language is actually the wrong word. You are not adopted. You are sons and daughters. You are not orphans. You are not stepchildren. You are sons and you are daughters. Now listen, I'm not against anybody adopting anybody, and I don't want to undermine anybody or cause any offense if you've been adopted. Please listen to me. But if you've been adopted, you do not have 100% right to the inheritance by blood. It's only by law. But when you come to Jesus the Christ, the Messiah of the world, when you come through grace and truth, then you have direct access to everything that belongs to you. You don't need to go to the law courts to gain it back. You have direct access to everything that is your rightful inheritance in Christ. So that word adoption is the wrong word. It means to be crafted in. It means to be accepted or positioned into. John 15 says what? I am the vine, you are the branches. What does he say? That you have been what? Crafted in. You have been what? Positioned. You have been placed into. Don't allow yourself to feel like you've been adopted. Because if you've been adopted, it's through law. But when we walk in identity, we've been accepted. We're accepted through love. There is no other way to be accepted. It's not about gift or talent. It's not about how well or how fluent you are in the Bible or how much of the Bible you can quote. It's not about what anointing you carry. It's not about what office you carry. Let me tell you, it's about the love of Jesus Christ. Having been predestined and crafted in, positioned, accepted as sons of Jesus Christ to himself according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Everybody say accepted. When you've been accepted, he doesn't expect us to sin. I say, when you've been accepted, he does not expect us to sin. We might expect ourselves to sin. But when you've been accepted in the love, you want to please that person. You want to honor that person. You want to love that person. Are you with me? Jesus. We're talking about acceptance in the identity tonight. It's a big part of where God is leading us and wanting to lead us. My Lord. Jesus. See, one of the scriptures, it says, I desire to do your will, O Lord. I think that is in one of the Psalms. It says, I desire to do your will, O Lord. See if I can find that scripture here. Sikatarabasundi. You see, we've got to realize where our identity lies. That tonight we've been accepted in the Beloved, we've been accepted in Christ, that we need to realize that we have the image, but not only the image, but the likeness of God, because we are now the image of God that has been portrayed upon the earth. We are now walking in the image and the likeness of who Jesus the Christ is. And so here is what we find out. The Bible says that I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am established, anointed, sealed by God. I am secured. All things work together for good. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I may approach God freely, with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the branch of the vine, a channel of his life. I am God's temple. Complete in Christ. I am hidden with Christ in God. I have been justified. I am God's co-worker. I am God's workmanship. I am confident that God, who has begun a good work in me, will perfect it on that day. I have been redeemed and forgiven. I have been accepted as God's son. Everybody say accepted. I belong to God. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I am united with the Lord. I am bought with a price. I am a saint set apart for God. I am a personal witness of Christ. I am the salt and light of the earth. This is us tonight. Through identity. We tonight are the salt and the light of the earth. We are who? Sons of God. We have been accepted. I am free from condemnation. Let me tell you this. When God redeems us, he never condemns us. What God has redeemed, he will never condemn. He might convict us, but he won't condemn us. It's like with your children. You love your child to do something wrong, or your husband or your wife. You don't condemn them. Yes, you might discipline them. You don't condemn them, you love them. When you have truly been bought with the blood of the Lamb, Christ, he says this in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now, right now, present tense, not past, not future, even though it decrees for the future because it's an eternal promise, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the flesh. Those who are in the flesh. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You've been accepted in the Beloved. You cannot be condemned. But there can be conviction. The same way if you let your wife down or your husband or your children or something goes wrong, you feel that little bit of conviction. But when you've been accepted, you won't be condemned. I am free forever from condemnation. I am a citizen of heaven. I am significant. Everybody say significant. Everything else pales into insignificance when you're significant in Christ. I am free from any charge against me. When the enemy comes knocking, when the enemy tries to condemn, when the enemy tries to accuse, when the enemy says you're not accepted, enemy says you're not loved, anybody says you're not worthy, enemy says that you've got no value, when the enemy comes knocking, you can say, there is no charge against me. Tonight we need to serve an eviction notice to the enemy. I said tonight we serve an eviction notice to the enemy. We say, enemy, no longer. No authority. No right. I am accepted. Everybody say you're accepted. Say accepted. Where you've been accepted, you're not expected to sin. Incidentally, when the Bible talks about falling from law, you read in Galatians, it says about falling from grace. You don't hear many people talking about falling from grace nowadays, but you always want to talk about falling from law. You want to have this whole tug of war between the law and grace. But Galatians 4 and verse 5, I believe it is, it says that they fell from grace. That was the law they were talking about, this understanding of the law of grace, that they fell from that law of grace. Many of us are so caught up with do's and don'ts of the world, even the do's and don'ts of the Bible, and we use the Bible as a law to condemn us. The Bible says that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on that cross, he said, it is finished, not I am finished. What did it mean, the laws and the ordinances? It meant that all of the old covenant was dealt with. In other words, all the I's were dotted, all the T's were crossed. It meant that we don't do away with the old, but it meant that the new and the old dovetail together, that we're now under a better covenant. It's a higher standard, it's a better blessing. Matthew 22 and 37, it says the whole law hangs on these principles. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And the second is, you love your neighbor as yourself. We now serve the law of love, not the law of sin and death. We now serve the law of love. Why? Because we have received a Father who loves us. Are you seeing this tonight? I don't know if you get this revelation. It does away with the law of Moses. It's finished. It's gone. We now serve the law of love. Don't allow love to condemn you. Love should never condemn. Love should always embrace and accept. True love. I mean, we look at the son that was miles away eating pig. What was he eating? Pig what? Swine what? The what? Slop. Slop. Lowest of the low. The prodigal son. But what did the father do when the father saw him miles away coming over the hills? He ran to him. He put a ring on his finger. He hailed him as his son. He accepted him into the house. Why did he accept him? Because his father loved him. That wasn't law. That was acceptance. Not based upon the slop and the pigs and the junk that he'd lived through, but based upon the love that the Father had. You notice that there's a battle going on in our churches today between the law and grace. Because the law said, what did the law son say? Oh, I've worked for you 7 years and you've never thrown a fatty calf for me. You've never had a party. You didn't put a robe on me. You didn't put a ring on my finger. That guy's just come through the door. He was the biggest drug dealer in town and he's been saved, delivered. You got one half of the church that's law, the other half that's grace. Why don't we just accept the fact that grace is a seed through Jesus Christ? And when you accept him, then you accept the love of Christ. And that love, I tell you what, it's not for special people, because I ain't no special person. I'm a citizen of heaven. I am significant. I am free from any charge against me. Woo! I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm a free person. I'm not in no prison. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. There is no charge against me. I don't care what accusation the enemy is against me. I don't care how the enemy tries to torment me or tries to trick me. He ain't going to get my image or my likeness. He might be able to steal my bank account. He might be able to get into my Facebook or my Instagram. But let me tell you, he is not getting into my relationship with Jesus the Christ. He has no access to the possession of my inheritance in Christ. Tonight you are free from guilt. I pull guilt off you tonight. I pull shame off you tonight. Condemnation off you tonight. The duty of works. Some of you feel like you've got to work it up. Some of you feel like it's based on your ability and your works. Some of you feel like it's based on your words. Some of you think it's about how you can write the song, how loud you can sing, how good you can play the guitar, how good you can prophesy, how good you can pray, as long as you're the earliest one to church in the morning to pray. That is a load of garbage. That is works based upon your flesh, not based upon the righteousness of Jesus the Christ. And when we choose to be accepted in Christ, it is not on our ability, but on our availability. It is not based upon who we are, but based upon who Jesus is. I am free from any charge against me. I can't get away from that verse, that one little portion of scripture. Maybe you need to tell the enemy tonight that you're free from any charge against you. Come on, church. Come on, we know what renewal is. We know what it is to shake, rattle, and roll. We know what it is to prophesy. We know what it is to raise the dead. We know what it is to see blind eyes open. We see all this all the time. But what is it to really live in that place of identity in Christ? I am free from any charge against me. Romans 8, 31 to 34. I'm a minister of reconciliation for God. Everybody is a minister of reconciliation. I have access to God through the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, I have access to take my excess. Come on, say, you've got access to take your excess. Come on, God wants us to live in overflow tonight. Come on, many of us are just living in that place of just about. We're living in that place of just making it, barely getting through, barely getting by. Tonight, God wants us to take full possession of our position. Everybody say possession. Everybody say possession. Say possession. Notice he doesn't say possessed. Says possession. Says possession. Doesn't say possessed. We need to stop running around like we're possessed by something. The Holy Spirit has taken possession of us. He has not possessed us. Big difference. If you are possessed by something, there's a big difference in taking possession or having possession. The enemy has not possessed you, but you have accepted him to take a position in your life to accept you in the beloved. Glory. Well, God took us on a bit of a journey on that one, didn't he? I mean, identification, you can teach that for weeks, day in and day out. It's a really good weekend thing, actually. I love teaching our identity. I feel some of us tonight, God wants to break some things off and take some things off. A bit of worship, if we can, or twinkle the ivories. God wants to put a seal of approval on our lives tonight. Some of us are feeling disproved. Some of us are feeling disconnected. Some of us are feeling judged. Some of us are just in that place of feeling we need to do it ourselves. You feel like you're on a lonely path, a lonely journey tonight. Some of you feel like you're in condemnation. Some of you feel bound by shame, bound by guilt. Tonight, God wants to break that off of us. Are you with me? We need to give an eviction notice to the enemy tonight. Some of you more than others, the enemy has been having a field day. I believe for your brother that we're out tonight, we need to put an eviction notice on the enemy. The enemy's tried to torment you. He's been tormented in different areas of the mind, and there's been areas where there's been lack of sleep, there's been worry, and the enemy's tried to get in there. And I believe tonight God is saying that so far and no further, enemy, you have no authority, you have no right. There's influence on your life. You're an influential person. There's something influential about you. You carry a dominion, you carry an authority. I was watching you this morning, I was watching you tonight with a guitar, and I felt God was saying that there's an authority that you carry, and it's almost like he's calling you as a David. And you know, at the moment you feel like you're just left with a bunch of sheep that are doing what they want to do. They're bleating, beating, and all sorts of different things, and they're almost kind of sharing themselves. And what God is saying is that you've come to clothe them, but you're going to clothe them with what you carry. Because what you carry is being that you are in the Beloved. And that what you carry is going to be an overflow. Because you see, God wants us to be a residual of his presence. God wants us to have a deposit where we go. And I believe what we need to say to the enemy tonight is so far and no further. And we need to put an eviction notice on the enemy. Sean, I believe the enemy has been turning words that he's spoken. There's been times you've been fighting with this battle, just like it happened in Genesis there. When, you know, it says that God has said, look, you are. You said to yourself, look, I am anointed. I am chosen. I am called. I am appointed. But the enemy's been trying to turn that round to you, to make you go, am I? There's been this whole doubt system of, am I? Like a tug of war. Can I really do it? Have I made the right choice? Have I made the right decision? Tonight, once and for all, we said to the enemy, enemy, so far, no further. We say, enemy, I am in the Beloved. I am the apple of God's eye. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. Tonight, we put an eviction notice on your aspect of what the enemy's been trying to cause discord. There's been discord in relationships. The enemy's been trying to cause discord. He's been trying to isolate you. Been trying to get you by yourself. Now, I will say this, that if you're anything like me and you carry what you carry, which is unique, let me tell you, it will be a lonely journey. And it's almost like you're digging a lonely furrow. It's like you're in a field. And you've been digging and digging and digging a channel. People have said to you at times you're over the top. People have accused you of being over the top. I've got word for you. Listen to this. You look into the First and the Second World War. Britain lost 75% of its men in the First and Second World War. You know what the Sergeant Major would say? These people would be in the trenches. It was wet, it was damp, rain. It would be pouring down with rain. And these men were in the trenches, freezing cold, soaking wet. They would have gout in the legs. All manner of insects eating away at the legs. When the Sergeant Major wanted them to attack, he would say, over the top, over the top. When men and women are accusing you of being over the top, that means that you're zealous. That means that you're attacking the enemy. That means that you're right where God wants you to be. You are positioned by God. You've been chosen of God. You've been sealed by God in the Beloved. Over the top. I want to be accused of being over the top. I have been accused. And I ain't going to let up. I ain't going to back down. I'm not being prideful. I'm not being arrogant. But I'm going to walk in God, who God has called me to be. This young man is going to walk in who God has called him to be. Right now we break off the accuser of the brethren. We break off the lies. We break off the deceit. We break off deception tonight. We break off all accusation. We say, enemy, so far and no further. You have no authority. We draw the bloodline over his life tonight. And we cry out to those mountains of difficulty. Broken relationship, even in your own household. there's been breach, dislocation of relationship. God wants relationships to be restored. God is a God of restoration, reconciliation. God is going to bring restoration to relationships. God is calling you to Himself. You're going to be in a season of the secret place. He's calling you to a place of devotion. There's going to be a season when it feels like people are not around you. Maybe you're in that season now. You feel alone. You feel not so much in the desert, but you just feel alone, even though when you're around people. A bit like I was saying this morning about being in that house. You see, that house was full of people, but how many of you have been in a room where it's full of people, but you feel alone? Sometimes that's because God has marked you, God has chosen you, God has branded you. And I'm telling you tonight, brother, you've been branded by the cross. Christ has branded you. There's a branding on your heart. Don't go for image. Don't go for looks. Don't go for the likes. Don't fall into the category of the world. Be the image and the likeness of the Son. Ki tarabasundara basota. Surabasandara bakundara basiti. Sandara masotra basundara bakota. I feel God is saying that He wants to put an eviction notice on the enemy. There's been areas where there's been even stolen identity. People have tried to steal identity on you. I don't know anything about it, but the enemy's been trying to steal identity. There's been fraud. There's been financial corruption. There's been manipulation of words. There's been manipulation of finances. There's also been abuse, which is verbal and physical abuse. And God wants to cut that off tonight. And we're saying to the enemy tonight, so far and no further, we seal that tonight. We put a line of the blood of Christ around you tonight. And you see, when the enemy has come to you, he said, he hasn't said, has God not said, but he said to you, did God say? And you have doubted what God has said about you. There's a touch, there's a call on your life. There's almost like a prophetic edge on you. And it's like God is saying that He has called you, a bit like an Esther. You see, Esther, basically Esther was desolate. Esther had no mother and father. Esther was an orphan. And it's like the enemy has orphaned you. But tonight God wants to restore your identity in being a daughter of the King. And just like Esther, He's putting His scepter of authority to you, and He is calling you into the courts of the King. It's a place you shouldn't be, actually, but He's favored you. And you see, what He said to Esther was this: called you for such a time as this. Now is your time. You see, many times we think our time was when we 5 years ago, or is in 5 years' time. But let me tell you this: when God calls you, He's called you because it's your time. I believe God is saying He wants to bring restoration. Restoration of what the cankerworm and the locust has eaten. God is a God of restoration. The number seven, I believe God is saying something about 7 years ago. I don't think about you, I've never seen you before. But 7 years ago, there was something significant that happened in your life, and it knocked your confidence. It knocked who you are in Christ. 7 years ago, the enemy stole from you. The enemy came in like a flood. The enemy came in. And even at that time, what you did is you submitted to the enemy. But God is saying that He wants you to walk in a counterculture. You see, submit to the culture. We submit more. We submit to what the enemy is doing. But God wants you to counteract what the enemy has meant for our. And for some reason today, He's saying the number seven, which is the wholeness. It's a whole number. And God is saying, this is your year of restoration. This is your Jubilee year. Everything that the enemy has stolen is going to be paid back to you sevenfold. He is a God of restoration, reconciliation. In fact, we put an eviction notice. There's an eviction notice tonight, we say, on your back. So far and no further, enemy. So far and no further. We pull off the shame. We pull off the disgrace. The enemy has humiliated you.
so far, enemy, no further. You have no right. He has given you grace clothes for those grave clothes. He has given you beauty for ashes. He has given you oil of joy for mourning. He has given you divine exchange tonight. You've gone from law to love. You've been accepted in the beloved. Tonight, God has changed your viewpoint of who you are. You've gone from the image of man to the image of God. You've gone from the likeness of man to being the likeness of God. This has been your time of appointment tonight. This is a divine appointment. This is not just another meeting. It's not just another schedule for somebody to visit to speak. This is God speaking tonight. I tell you, the weight of his presence, I felt it all the way through. God is speaking. It's not about me. God is using me as an oracle, but speaking to you tonight. God is in this place. He wants to put an eviction notice on what the enemy has done. I believe God is saying he wants to bless. I believe that the number five, which is the number of grace. I just get the number five. I see the number five. It's almost like God is saying to you that he wants you to know that you've been graced. There's been deceit, there's been lies, there's been gossip, there's been areas of backbiting. There's been areas where you've been stabbed in the back. In areas where you felt like a cul-de-sac. But tonight God is lavishing you with his grace, which is his unmerited favor. That number five. Number of grace. I really feel God saying that he wants you to support fivefold ministry. I don't know what that means, but I feel he's saying he needs you to support the fivefold ministry. I don't know if it's in prayer, I don't know if it's with finances, I don't know, but this house has a fivefold ministry. You know, God is setting this place up internationally, but I'll tell you, there's fivefold in this house. And I believe God is saying, I don't know, there's something about you being a channel, about you being a channel of prayer. I don't know if it's a channel of backing, I don't know what it is, but I feel God is saying that number five is for you to be a channel of grace. You need to be able to allow it to flow. Maybe there's been times when you've held it tight and you've allowed it to die. There's been a seed that God has given to you that you've allowed to die. Maybe because of abuse, maybe because of lies and deceit, maybe because of accusation. But God is saying he wants you to release it. He wants you to release. Fivefold. Ki tarabasotarabasoti. Ki tarabasundi. Sakatarabasotarabasata. Glory. You know, every time I look at you guys, I just feel the word precious. Precious. It's not from the movies. Precious. But I really feel that word precious, Pastor Doyle. I do, honestly. I feel the word precious. Honestly, I do. I feel precious. Sikatarabasundi. I want to bless you tonight. Okay? I want you guys to be blessed. Okay? Because I think there's a preciousness upon your lives. I don't do this type of stuff. But I add that for Sean. I'll give Sean what God wants me to give Sean. But I believe that's for you guys. God is saying you're precious. He is precious. Precious. You need to hear that. At times we feel like we've been overlooked, we've been overshadowed. At times we feel like, sometimes we feel dispossessed or dispositioned. That's the enemy. Man has not done that to you. That's what the enemy has done. See, if my shoulder tonight became dislocated, dispositioned, all of a sudden this right hand side of my body cannot work. I can't pick this bottle up. I can't use my mobile phone. I can't drive the car, because it's been dislocated from the body. So that's become isolated. There is no flow of life. That has just become stagnant. Eventually that's going to die, because the bloodline will go, the aspect of the muscles will grow, that will never work. The enemy is very subtle, Pastor, in how he tries to dislocate us. Not necessarily physically, but spiritually, in how he can attack and come against us in our marriage, in our relationships, in our churches, in our walk with God. And I felt that word precious, because God wants to tell you tonight that you've not been dislocated, but he has relocated you into an aspect of the body that maybe is a little bit uncomfortable to you right now. But you see, what happens is when somebody has a transplant, or the eye has to be replaced, or there's a situation with the lungs, or the situation with the heart, and they have a heart transplant, or there's a liver transplant, it takes time for that heart or that liver to be able to live in the body. They've got to take tablets. It takes a few years for that body to begin to actually function correctly. And I feel what God is saying is just, it's almost like he's giving you a nudge. Sorry, I know it's a bit physical, but I feel God is giving you a nudge, because you're precious. But he's nudging you in the right way. Just receive it. So be encouraged. I believe that. And that's a seed. You guys are coming to the United Kingdom. Sometime Odara's going to try and bring a team. I know you guys, some guys' hearts have been crying out for the United Kingdom. Listen, why don't you all just grab a plane or buy a plane, and we can fly in and out every weekend? Listen, if Virgin can have planes and Delta can have planes, why can't we have a plane in the Kingdom of God? It's not just about TD Jakes. There's enough of us here. We could all charter a plane. It'll probably be cheaper for us all to charter a plane and spend a couple of $100s than it would individually to spend $500 or $600, maybe $1,000. I'm being serious. If we can get buses to go to auditoriums in Atlanta and places, and down there in North Carolina, then why don't we just look at getting an aeroplane and coming and visiting England? Let's invade England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales for a time. But that is a scene into you guys. So, you know what you want to do, spend it what you want, have a good time, go to the movies, buy yourself hot chocolate. Hallelujah. Sikatarabasundi. God's good, isn't he, Sean? Hallelujah. Sakatarabasutta. This guy reminds me of my brother. It's 11 years between me and my next brother, but my middle brother, he's a window cleaner. He cleans windows. That's his business. 25 years window cleaning. You might think it's a bit of a trash job. I tell you, it makes a lot of money out of it. Bought several properties and all sorts of stuff through that. He runs around with shorts and a t-shirt on in the middle of January in England, where it's -4, running up and down ladders. He could have been a professional footballer, played for Liverpool and different ones, but he got homesick and came home. He could have run circles around some of the best footballers today, would have made millions of pounds if he'd have been a footballer today. But he runs up and down ladders. He wears shorts and t-shirt, Nike trainers, because he won't be conformed to the world. Been branded by Christ. Tony, you're only growing your wings. I feel like God has given you a glimpse. There's been like a dream or something that God has given you a glimpse of recently. And what God is saying is that he sees you. This is what he sees you as. He sees you as a mother hen. And what I see you as, right, you've got your wingspan wide open. And you're doing this. You're gathering in. You're a gatherer. You're gathering people in. Even with prophetic declaration, your prophetic voice, I believe what God is saying is you're going to begin to gather. And I believe as you step into Ireland, step into England, I believe that mother in spirit is going to come with you. You're going to begin to gather. The gathering spirit. And I believe that you and Doyle have dovetailed. What I honestly feel, this is my honest, this might be just Denver Thompson. I don't mean disrespectful in any way, but I almost feel like God is saying that you guys have outgrown this place. I'm talking about Pastor Doyle and yourself. I'm not talking about this building. You listen to me. And what I feel God is saying is that there's something bigger and unique. There's going to be a sister development, I believe, in the United Kingdom somewhere. I don't know what it is. We're not here to try and gain anything. We're not here to try and make advantage of anything. We never talk about any of this stuff. I mean, if we ever talk about stuff, it's usually just friendship stuff, or sometimes I'll say, hey, how would you handle this situation? But I believe, and I don't mean that in any detriment, please don't get upset. Please do not come to church next week. What I'm saying is, this has been a huge training ground. There's a blueprint here that God wants to establish elsewhere. I don't know where that elsewhere is. It's very interesting when God speaks and tells us, oh, we want you to go to Florida, Palm Beach, Florida. Yeah! Let's sign up with Jeremiah and go out there to Lakeland and let's serve. Yeah, it sounds real good. We get selective here when it's Kathmandu or when it's Afghanistan, don't we? Sean, God wants you to go to Afghanistan. What do you say, darling? Fish and chips for tea? Applebee's for supper? No! Afghanistan! Sorry, Zimbabwe, England, Ireland, Scotland. It's amazing how we have selective hearing when we want to. There's something unique in this house, but I felt that God is saying you've got to enlarge your runway. You've got to enlarge your expectation. You've got to enlarge your house. There is something bigger that God is doing. Something bigger that is coming. I'm not saying that on a wing of the prayer. I'm not just saying that because it sounds good. I'm saying that because I felt that in my spirit. I tell you what, I would much rather have Doyle and Tony fly eagles than be like turkeys for the rest of their lives. I would much rather release them to destiny and assignments than be penned in like headless chickens. No identity. No way in, no way out. Same thing. Bark, 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 bark. Barking at everybody. Enemy, we say, eviction notice. There's an eviction notice on the enemy tonight. Father's House International Church, there is an eviction notice on the enemy. So far, enemy and no further. You have no access to the finances. You have no access to the leadership. You have no access to the eldership. You have no access to each son and daughter in this house. We say so far and no further. We push you back. That resistance. Brother, I forgot your name. Roger. Eviction notice to the enemy. Eviction notice to shame, condemnation. Eviction notice to debt. God wants to release you of debt. Listen to this. Even this year, even though I've had accusation, even though there's been thousands of pounds that people have tried to get out of us that have become null and void, I also had £2,477 debt wrote off just by a letter coming through the post. Said, we have chosen to write off your debt, Mr. Thompson, of £2,477. How many of you know God is a debt cancellation God? God is going to cancel your debt. I believe and I stand in the next 6 months, there is going to be debt cancellation. There's going to be checks in the mail you have not had seen. There's going to be finances come from unexpected sources. We say eviction notice to the enemy.
eviction notice to the enemy. Enemy so far, no further. You have no authority. I speak to the lies, even of your image. The enemy has lied to you about your image. Even your own family have called you names. Work colleagues, friends. Even church leadership, not here. Not at ITL. But in the past, even leadership have called you all sorts of stuff that have been unheard of and unnamed, unwanted, unneeded. They have not accepted you for who you are. They've wanted to put you in a religious box. Shirts, I see you dressed in a shirt and tie and suit. Trying to be something that it's not who you are. I see you in a coffin, dressed to the 90s. Freedom! Freedom from debt. Freedom from verbal and mental abuse. Freedom from physical abuse. Freedom from emotional abuse. Freedom to write the song of the Lord. Freedom to pen the song of the Lord. I decree that you will decree. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In Bluefield, as it is in heaven, Lord. Freedom reigns over Roger. And I decree and declare, so far and no further enemy, we boomerang you right back into the enemy's camp. And I stand on that word, 6 months, debt cancellation. We serve an eviction notice to the enemy. Just like they put a sign above Jesus, the King of the Jews, we serve an eviction notice tonight, and we say, enemy so far, no further. Sikatarabasoto, sitarabasoto. Even when the enemy accuses you, you can get a letter through the door that says you're debt cancellation. How amazing is that? I was laughing as well. My wife said, you better hold on to that, put it in the file. I said, I'm going to do. I'm going to take a picture of it, I'm going to photocopy it, I'm going to hang it on the wall. I was shocked. I mean, you hear about everybody else getting it, don't you? You know, you hear T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollar and Pastor Chris, and you hear about all these great ministries. Oh, debt cancellation. Never comes to my house. Well, it did. That is the beginning of many, for many people. Release that tonight over you. So far and no further any. Thank you, Lord. Those of you that I've prayed over tonight, I want to anoint you with oil. Please do not leave. In fact, come out to the front now. We're going to pray with you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. Listen, everything God has spoken tonight is because we're a family of God. This is not a shameful place. God does not speak to expose. God speaks to include. We need to come up here to. Come on, I'm going to pray with you. Sika Tarabasata, Sean. Whoa. Pray with us. Kitarabasoto Rabasoti. Sitarabasoto Rabasoto, Morgan. Oh. It's all right, man. Ooh. Release it tonight, guys. Come on, Sean. Sean's going to pray as well. You want some oil? You got oil? The oil right there? Or this one? Mighty man of valor. A warrior, not a wimp. A worshipper, not a worrier. You've been called a warrior. Morgan, begin to walk as the warrior he's called you to be. You are accepted in the beloved. You might not be accepted in the world, but you're going to influence and affect nations. Just as I saw you running in that lane, running that race. Don't put down the baton, but allow the nations to run with you. There is influence in this region, in the colleges, in the school stream, especially with the gift that God has given you to rap. You're going to bring that to England as well. We decree it, we declare it. Open doors. Isaiah 22:22. The key of David is upon your shoulders. God will open doors that no man can shut. Shut doors that no man can open. Sakatarabasoto. Release. Place of influence, brother. Just like that David, the backside of the desert. When he came to fight Goliath, they said, "What the hell are you doing here? Why have you even come here? What are you doing? Who do you think you are?" And you say, "I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir of God. I'm in the Beloved. Jesus is me, and I am in Jesus. I am the image of God. I am a warrior of God. I come against doubt. I come against lies. I come against dejection and rejection. I come against accusation tonight. And I say, no far, no further. We serve an eviction notice to the enemy. Eviction notice to the enemy. Precious. Hold hands. You guys are precious. Hold hands. Come on. Put your hands out. I don't know if I've done this with you before. Look at your hands. Look at your hands, guys. My future. My future is not determined by the marks in my hands. But my future. My future is determined by the marks in Christ's hands. Lord, we just thank you for this precious couple tonight, Lord. Lord, I thank you for their dedication. I thank you for their application. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for their dedication to your word, and to worship and to prayer, and to travel to and from this church. Increase of finances, increase of, Lord, influence, affluence. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would allow, if there's an area of dislocation, for them to be relocated. Lord, just as you give them that little nudge to a new position, you are realigning them tonight, Lord. I said, eviction notice to the enemy of doubt, the enemy of fear, the enemy of rejection. Even in your workplaces, you feel inadequate. In your workplaces, you feel you're not good enough. People have even spoken to you and said, "Man, this is not looking good. You're not performing." I decree and declare, He who began a good work in you both, He is faithful and He is just to complete it on that day. Completion, Lord. Completion of what you've begun in their lives. Precious. God is saying you're precious in His eyes. You're precious in His sight tonight.
Jesus framed His place.
Don't let the enemy tell you any different. You are precious in the Beloved. Branded, Lord. Branded by the oil of the anointing. Yes, He might be a bit strange to the world. Yes, He might seem a bit different to the world. Yes, He might seem a bit over the top. But my God is advancing on the enemy. I just pray a protection from the spirit of Delilah. I
I don't know why. Right now, I just feel to pray a protection from that spirit of Delilah, that deceitful, deceptive spirit. God is saying He wants you to set yourself aside for a season. Like I said, it's a season of focus, season of dedication. It's a season of quiet place, away from girls, away from any distraction. You see, what Delilah wanted was, she wanted the authority. She wanted the heart of the man. That's why, come on, you've told me twice now. The third time, you need to tell me the truth. Because you see, what Delilah wants you to do is put your head in her lap. You see, your head, our heads represent authority. That's why when David killed Goliath, he chopped his head off, not his arms and his legs. He chopped his head because his head is significant of authority. You take the head of the person and you've got the authority of that person. And once the enemy's got your authority, you become a puppet on a string. So, yes, you are called out. Yes, you have been branded. But God is calling you to walk in wisdom. And right now I decree that what the enemy is for arm, we boomerang right back into the enemy's camp. Delilah, you will not have authority. You will not be able to weave your webs. You will not be able to lie. There will be no deceit. There will be no deception. You will not allow this young man to fall or to trip. I pray, Lord, that you allow him to line himself up with the right counsel, the right people, the right relationships, the right men. That, Lord, he would receive criticism in a right way, that he would receive discipline in a right manner. That, Lord, he would not be puffed up or full of pride, but, Lord, he would walk in humility and he will be humble. That, Lord, he will allow himself to be a Timothy that submits to the authority of the house. Glory. Oh. She katara kot. The presence of God is in this place. You guys, keep your eyes on Christ. Stop looking at man tonight. Don't look at Doyle, don't look at Sean, don't look at me. Look at Christ. You that are out there, God has got answers to your questions. Some of you right now are asking questions. Some of you right now feel inferior. Some of you don't feel accepted. If you need to leave, leave. Let me tell you this. Rodney Al Brown said the Holy Spirit would only show up at 11 o'clock at night. I've seen many meetings that have gone to 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning when God pours out. I've seen people that have been tied to the carpet for days, because when God really moves, He stamps His approval on your life. Be saturated right where you are. Come on, get pressed into God tonight. Take your eyes off man. Soak into what God is doing. There is a weight of His presence in this place tonight. There's a uniqueness. Number five. This is not bingo. It's not even Bible bingo. Remember I said this morning, dust on the heart, or dust on the Bible, is drought in the heart. God is saying He wants to blow up on the embers of your life. He wants to blow up on the embers of your life. He's saying He wants you to get back into the Word, back into intimacy. God wants to bring restoration. He wants there to be support of the fivefold. Number five is a number of grace, which is a merited favor. God has already favored you many times over the years. There is something significant of 5 years ago. Something very significant. And it's almost like jolted you, where every so often it takes your breath. It's like the enemy is to take you out. He's tried to snuff you out. The enemy tried to strangle you. The enemy has tried to kill you. And right now I release the powers of the enemy. I speak life and longevity. I speak to every area of this spirit, soul and body. I release the healing balm of Gilead right now over your blood level, over your sugar levels, over your bloodline right now, over your lungs, over your heart. I release the healing balm of Gilead right now. Enemy so far and no further. I decree and declare wholeness, spirit, soul and body. Graced.
My soul, Jesus, I'll never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock. Now I know.
I see you dressed in white.
I need you.
I see you dressed in like a raiment of white.
Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go.
God is saying to you, you'll never be shamed again.
You're my Savior. My
clothes. Grace clothes for the grave clothes. There was one point you thought you would be dead. You should be dead. But His grace brought you back to life. There was verbal, mental, physical abuse, almost kind of torturous, where you're almost being tortured. You were tied, you're locked into a room. I see you in a room, like you were fighting to get out of the room. The windows were locked, the doors were locked. You were being abused, you were being manipulated. There was financial inadequacies, there was financial difficulties. Right now, tonight, we serve an eviction notice to your past. You will not be anchored to the past, but you will use the past as a guidepost. Right now, I decree the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, never to be the same again. I release the oil of the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, breaks the yoke of sin, the yoke of slavery. I release the garment of love. That you will be enveloped in love. Remember, you do not serve God through law or duty, through do's and don'ts, but you serve God through acceptance that He loves you despite of. He loves you no matter what.
And I exalt Thee.
Yes, sing that out, come on. Exalt Him tonight in adoration. Come on, everybody, sing that out tonight. Come on. Sing that out. Stand up, stand up. You guys are worship team. Come up here, please. Sing this out tonight. Come on. Come on, let's exalt Him tonight. Give Him glory. Give God preeminence. Guys, you guys, come up here. Come on. Worship team.
I exalt Thee.
Come on, God is doing something you need tonight.
This is going to go through
Bluefields. I exalt Thee. Come on.
I exalt Thee.
Lord, I release the oil of the anointing tonight, Lord, to break the yoke of slavery, of bondage, of the past. Not a stepchild. Not an orphan. Never the same again, Lord.
I exalt Thee.
Never the same, Lord.
Saturated
tonight,
I exalt Thee.
Saturated, Lord.
Whoa. I do, I exalt thee.
Out, guys, come on. I exalt thee. Sing it out. Come on.
I exalt thee.
Sing it like you mean it. Sing it like you mean it
tonight. I exalt thee.
Come on, sing it out. Sing it out tonight. Come on.
I exalt thee.
Sing it out tonight. Come on, adoration to the King.
Oh,
no right. I speak to witchcraft. I see voodoo dolls. I see tarot cards. My God. I see palm reading. Horoscopes. We exalt God tonight. Guys, sing that song. Come on. God is exposing something tonight. Sing it out, come on. I exalt thee. Sing it, please, come on. Give glory to God tonight. Authority.
Oh,
Lord.
I exalt.
I pull that sickness off right now.
I exalt.
I see you very that cancer. Right out! There is healing virtue right now! Sing it out! Sing it out!
I exalt thee!
Jesus! We exalt you tonight, Lord! We give you adoration! Jesus! We give you preeminence tonight!
Jesus. Sing it out tonight.
I exalt thee.
There is something in this atmosphere tonight.
I exalt thee.
Come on, give him glory tonight.
Whoa.
Koto.
Oh Lord, I
glory
carrier.
The carrier of the oil of the anointing. There's going to be an aroma and a fragrance you carry. Yes, you're going to be a mother that gathers in the chicklings. Yes, you're going to be an eagle that can fly. Yes. There is a decree and declaration of the prophetic. Yes, you and your husband are going to fly. God is going to release supernatural manifestation of finances and influence. But there is a deposit of the oil that you carry. I can smell it. I can smell the aroma of his presence. There's a unique oil that you carry. There's a unique scent and a fragrance that no matter where you go, especially this next trip, it's going to be a very significant trip. Going into Ireland and into England. There's going to be a scent and aroma that you carry. You're going to begin to smell those scents as well, because of what you smell, you're going to minister. Scents are going to represent aspects of religion and witchcraft, sin, shame, hurts, rejection. There's going to be a sensitivity to the aroma and the smell, not only of the kingdom, but of the world. But where you go, you're going to carry this aroma and this presence and this scent. So when you begin to walk in places, Starbucks, whether it's a church, whether it's an airport, or just into a local shop or a mall, this scent is going to begin to go into the atmosphere. It's going to be released. Glory carrier. I decree finances from unexpected sources. Even checks with your name on, Tony Bradford, they're going to begin to come in this mail from unexpected places.
I
just
is for heaven, for that spiritual authority that Peterson has been arrogant, Peterson has been ignorant. People have said that he's just not somebody that is tempted, he's not loving the Lord. I thank you. Everything that the enemy has said, Lord, has been his character, has been his nature. But I thank you, Lord, that there are pillars, Lord. You've called him as a pillar. Lord, that he's increased. Lord, in his next 15 years, that's more broad, more depth, and more deep. The blueprint. Lord, I believe you're giving the blueprint. Lord, it's almost like he's on Doyle's hands for a reason. And this is going to be an establishment of your kingdom. Not only here, but the world. It's going to be an influence of his ministry, of his wife, of his children. Verse, thou, O Lord, art high above the heavens. You know the verse?
Thou art exalted
far above
God.
Come on, he is exalted tonight.
For thou, O Lord, on high,
above all
the earth, thou art exalted,
tonight, Lord, I just pray, Lord, for this church. Lord, I pray for every single person that is involved with this church, every baby, every child, every mother, every father, every son,
every daughter, anybody that is not represented here tonight. Lord, I pray that every one of them would be glory carriers, apothecaries. That every person, Lord, that identifies themselves with Father's House International Church, that every one of them would be branded with the glory of revival. That every one of them would walk in wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. That every one of them would walk in newness of life. That every one of them, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, would be blessed in their going out and their coming in. Lord, I decree and I declare debt cancellation over this house. I decree debt cancellation over every individual person. I decree and declare your kingdom come, your will be done over this region, over this town. In the name of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, Yeshua, Yahweh, have your way, Lord. We give you preeminence. We say, do and have your way in our lives. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Jesus.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee.
Exalt you, Lord. There is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the change of directions in this place this evening, God. We thank you for an abrupt change of direction. Father, we accept your invitation to the nations. We declare, Lord, that you give us the nations for our inheritance. We say we accept, Lord. We accept, Lord. We accept that which you have called us to, Lord. Thank you for alignment. that brings increase. We thank you for divine order that brings glory. Lord, we say right now, we call everything in this house to order. We establish order now, Lord, so that glory can come. First order, then glory. First order, then glory. First order, then glory. We command things to line up right now, God. We command people to line up right now, God. Father, I thank you that there are 40 people that belong to this house. You told me this weeks ago, I feel under the unction of the Spirit to call it forth. There's 40 warriors coming to this house, Lord. They won't be novices. They won't be looking for positions. But they'll be part of the puzzle. So, Lord, I thank you right now, order is coming, and out of the order will come an alignment. Out of the order will come increase. I thank you, Lord, that because we are in order, as you make us in order, it affects the lives of many people, and it causes them to come into order. I pray, Lord, right now for men and women who have been called to ministry, but the enemy has come and stolen or trying to steal their purpose. We say this will be a house of many ministers. I decree and I declare in the Spirit right now, Lord, that this will be a house of many ministers. Many, 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 many ministers in this house. 40 ministers in this house, God. 40 people who are ordained ministers right under this one roof, God. We say it, we see it, we decree it, we declare it. Prison ministry in this house, God. Right now, Lord, we say let prison ministry be established in this house, God. Father, we call this house into agreement. Lord, we say only those who walk in agreement can stay in this house, because it's order, God. Father, we thank you for agreement and alignment and order. Many, many, many sons and daughters, many, many, many musicians, many, many, many musicians. Father, we thank you that in this house we will tap into the mantle that's in the very ground of Bluefield, West Virginia. Father, I decree and declare right now that there's a mantle of creativity and music that's in the roots and the DNA of Bluefield. And Lord, I say musicians shall come from afar. They shall come from the north, south, east, and west. And they will call this place home. That a sound will begin to go forth that shakes the earth and shakes the nations. Many, many, many musicians. See, this is why we have to get pride out of our heart. This is why we can't be grabbing a platform. I'm telling you, there's many, 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 many musicians. Not just people who bang. Musicians. Sounds. Albums. CDs. Live worship settings. Father, we come into alignment with your word. We say from here to the nations. From here to the nations. From here to the nations. Lord, we just seal this time in you. I say blessing to every person in this room. I pray blessing over their homes, Lord. The enemy's strategy is always to come and steal the word. I say that he would not be able to steal the word from anyone this evening. I thank you, Lord, that mighty warriors are arising in this house. I thank you that psalmists are coming out of this house. I thank you, Lord, that people who have been caught in dead, dry religion that would not allow them to release their sound and their voice will assemble in this house. I thank you that the glory of the Lord, I thank you that you're going to send and you're going to begin to cause to happen in the music, the glory of the Lord to manifest in this place, to where we're here for hours and we just can't even move because heaven is going to invade, Lord. We say, let heaven invade this place, God. We say, take out every agenda that's not yours. We say, take out every strategy of the enemy to come against this being established as a house of David. We say, in its womb you established it and called it to be a house of David, and a house of David it shall be. And nothing can stop it. For you're releasing those with a Davidic anointing into this house. And Father, we say it'll be a place of unity. Not a place of schism, not a place of ego, not a place of striving, but a place of loving the presence of the Lord. And we just thank you for it, God. Thank you tonight, Lord, for dreams and visions. Thank you for dreams and visions being released in the night. We bless you and we honor you, Lord. We say thank you. Can you just begin to thank him for what he's done? Sometimes we forget to thank him. Come on, if somebody gives you a gift, don't you always thank them? Come on, let's just thank him right now. Lord, we thank you that we're the apple of your eye. I thank you, Lord, that I'm your favorite. I thank you, Lord, that my church is your favorite. I thank you that your eye is upon me. I thank you that every good and perfect gift belongs to me because I'm a daddy's kid. I thank you, Lord, that I have everything because you bless me and you honor me. Lord, I thank you that lack can't stay in my life. I thank you, Lord, that come on, you need to get a hold of that. Come on, rise to your feet if you're not up. Come on, I want us to just begin to thank him as we go out of here. Come on, I tell you, he's a good, good daddy. We thank you, Lord, that we have everything that we need.
Thank you. My life, oh Lord, I thank you. Oh, I've got so much to thank him for. Oh, I thank you.
Come on, thank him.
Oh Lord. Oh, I thank you. Oh, when I think of all you've given me, Lord, how else could I respond but just say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Come on, he's the kind of daddy that he is. When you thank him, it touches his heart and he pours out double. Come on, if you'll thank him right now for what he's already done, he'll pour out double. Yes, we say double. Come on, sing it.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, Lord.
Come on, let's change it to Lord, I thank you. You can go when you want to. You can stay and worship all night. It's fine with me.